So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts may be worthy of you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Slide. When I was a 13-year-old Boy Scout back east, one of my memories was my failure to complete my first try at my first class scout overnight hike. Anybody, any of the men around here remember scouting back in the old days? No?
My husband was very active in
it. It was a lot different as now. It was, as my son-in-law said, it was harf stuff. Our scoutmaster was, to most of us, a second father. A man of great patience, high standards, and unknown to most of us until later in life, a man of solid Christian attributes. I loved the guy, and like most of my fellow scouts, looked forward to our two-week camps each summer on a remote northern lake, living under World War II bell tents. Anybody remember bell tents? The annual camp was pure heaven for us boys. Everything a healthy, active boy could want. Swimming, hiking, canoeing, campfires. And oh yeah, campfires. During the war, our scoutmaster was in the British tank corps in North Africa, and he was fighting against the Nazi tank commander, General Erwin Rommel. His stories were awesome. They were just awesome. And we never tired of them. He just keeps us on stitches with some of the things. In fact, I remember he had a burn mark right in the top of his head, which actually he got when he was trying to escape from a burning tank. Getting back to the first class hike, my friend Joseph and I left camp on our overnight hike one warm sunny morning, I still remember it, with a pack sack on our back and a topographical map and a compass in our hands. We took off wandering down old logging roads and trails looking for a campsite on a neighboring lake a few miles away. However, it was getting late in the afternoon when we realized that we were hopelessly lost and could not even find ourselves on the map. Suddenly we came out on a road that looked like it was still actively being used. We followed it and very soon came across a logging camp staffed mainly by Finlanders, many of whom spoke very little English. They were kind enough to feed us and show us on our map where we were and how to get back to Clearwater Lake where our friends were. So we continued on in what we hoped was the right direction, but became a little concerned when it started getting darker as night approached. And as we continued on along the old logging trails, we became aware of a light in the forest ahead of us. Joseph and I forged ahead and then realized that it was the light from the evening campfire at our campsite. Embarrassed, but relieved that we were no longer lost, we entered the camp, sat down on the at the campfire to explain why we were back at camp instead of camping on our own where we were supposed to be on another lake. By the way, we left again the next day, and this time we actually found our way to where we're supposed to go and made safely home too. Seeing that light of the campfire in the dark forest was, to my friend and me, pure joy. I remember we started laughing hysterically, realizing that our misadventure was near to a safe ending. I mean, being a 13-year-old kid, being lost in dark, it's not nice. The Apostle John said in his gospel, "In him was life, and life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." John MacArthur mentioned that life and light are qualities of the Word that are shared not only among the Godhead, but also by those who respond to the gospel messages of Jesus Christ. I want to talk now about how important that this light is not only to us, but also to those we encounter who have not seen the light in the sometimes very frightening and often dark wilderness of our lives. We live in dark times. We talk about this in our prayers every week. The world we live in has for the most part rejected God. And for us that have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we can only wonder how long God is going to put up with what is happening in the world today. In our own country, less than 5% of the population claim a relationship with Jesus Christ. Society has allowed tens of thousands of abortions to take place every year, elderly and sick people to be euthanized, children to question their sexuality at a young age, and Christians to be harassed for wanting to send their children to Christian schools or homeschool to escape the secular teachings in the government-run schools. And this is happening in Alberta right now. We live in an age where great numbers of people choose to worship creation rather than the Creator. And this is so evident on the island. The Christian man, Casting Crowns, said it well in the last couple of verses in one of their darker Christmas songs called While We Were Sleeping. Next slide. The United States of America looks like another silent night. And we're sung to sleep by philosophies that save the trees and kill the children. And while we're lying in the dark, there's a shout heard across the eastern sky, for the bridegroom has returned and has carried his bride away in the night. America, what will we miss when we are sleeping? Will Jesus come again and leave us slumbering where we lay? America, will we go down in history as a nation with no room for the king? You could substitute the words United States of America with Canada and Great Britain or any other Western nation in the song. Canada and most countries in this world today can no longer call themselves Christian nations. So where does this leave us as believers? In answer to that question, in a Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said this about believers. Next slide. You are the light of the world. A city set upon a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all of the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. There was a song on the message at Sirius XM on the way to church, and those are the words of the song. So I figured the Lord. Christians everywhere need to ask themselves, where are we in the surrounding darkness? We need to understand that when end times come and Jesus is separating the sheep from the goats, we will be held accountable for our lives after our salvation. As Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel, next slide, truly I say to you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. If you ask Jesus, who is the light? He would put his hands on your shoulders, look you straight in your eyes, and say, you are the light. You are the light. Yes, we are the light, and we are meant to shine in our community by doing good works in the name of Jesus. We are not saved by good works, but we are saved for doing good works. We are saved for doing good works. We do not do good works so that people will glorify us for our deeds. We do good works so that people will glorify God. We do good works to be the light of the community, a city on a hill that cannot be ignored. And so the Cowichan and Tribes community, our big blue bus, is the city on the hill. And those who support the ministry are the light of Christ in the community. What we do for these children and their families, we do for Jesus, not for Youth for Christ, not for ourselves. And when I say support the ministry, I mean the volunteers from this Nazarene church and other churches in the valley, in Victoria, who work on the ground with the children those who spend time on their knees in intercession as prayer warriors, those who love to lovingly prepare food to feed these children, and those who make the ministry possible by generously donating funds towards the maintenance and fuel for our bus and supplies we need to carry out the ministry. You are all the light of the world. As we talked about just a few minutes ago, our valley has many serious social problems. When Rick and I visited the RCMP when we were setting up this ministry, the native liaison officer told us, said that the RCMP detachment in Duncan is the busiest in British Columbia. It's the busiest one in British Columbia. To name a few, drugs, alcohol, abuse, homelessness, mental diseases, and poverty are part of the dark world throughout Cowichan tribes, throughout Duncan, and throughout North Cowichan. They have a devastating effect on families and vulnerable children. Nazarene pastor Cameron Pence said in this month's Reflecting God, some of you might have read already, "The second we look at our communities as problems to be solved, instead of people to be known and loved, we have lost sight of God's mission. The second we look at our communities as problems to be solved, instead of people to be known and loved, we have lost sight of God's mission." Governments try to fix these problems. Committees, social workers, clinics, to make bylaws and laws. But that's just trying to fix the problem. As a ministry, Youth for Christ instead develops relationships with these children and their families and gently introduce them to the one who loves them unconditionally and who can give them that peace that they long for in their lives. This peace can release the chains of hopelessness and despair and lead to addiction and abuse problems that led to the addiction and abuse problems in the first place. We see this in the streets of downtown Victoria, where Youth for Christ worker Jeremy Fast works one-on-one with street people by getting to know them, not being judgmental, but becoming their friend. He sees them as real people with real issues, not just street trash sitting on the sidewalk. He's led many of these persons to Christ. In fact, he's brought some of these people home. Getting back to my childhood story that I started this talk with, I mentioned that my scoutmaster was a man of strong Christian attributes. At the time, none of us realized or understood the impact that he would have on some of our later lives. Scouter Charlie Bell was a light. However, most of us boys did not come from Christian families. I would say that many of us would experience much darkness in our lives before the light eventually shone through. When my wife and I came to know the Lord in our late 30s, I then suddenly realized the spiritual influence that Scudder Bell had in my life. He taught us, in his own way, Christian values through scouting, was always singing Christian hymns in the background as he worked on projects. One that I remember him used to sing a lot was "Never Ever Be Discouraged," and I often wonder if that was because of us. And he always cared for us, at the same time showing us how to care for one another. And I remember we were always a happy group of boys. When I moved back to Timmins in 1990, and that's where I was raised as a child, my wife and I eventually joined a Brethren church where Scudder Bell's son was a member. We quickly became good friends and belonged to the same Bible study group. We shared many of the experiences that we had with his dad. The point here is that as a Christian man, Charlie Bell was a light in the wilderness of our lives. I love the man for sharing his faith with me, even if at the time I didn't understand what he was doing. But you know what? It stayed there. That's how much influence he had. So those of us who believe in our risen Lord need to understand that we are to be a light in our community. And as a church, a city on the hill, our challenge is to learn to understand that as Christians, we are saved for doing good works. Those good works, hopefully, will eventually lead our brothers and sisters to know the Lord as their personal Savior. If you're interested in becoming more involved with Youth for Christ as a volunteer in ministry, prayer warrior, preparing food, or as a financial supporter, as Rick said, talk to him while he's here, or talk to James or Rob or Brandon and myself, and we will make it happen. We will make it happen.